Father, we love you so much. We love you so dearly. And as we take communion, we remember, Father, we remember Jesus. We know that we are only who we are because he is who he is. We only do what we do because he did what he did. And we live a life of thanks and praise as we seek to worship you. Bless us this morning, Lord, as we open your word together. May you speak to our hearts, our minds, our souls. May we understand a little bit more of who you are so we can give you a little bit more of what you require as your people. But first and foremost, Lord, we're here to bring you glory. We're here to lift your name on high. So I pray that you're glorified through us this morning and as we move on into the week. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, the holiday season is upon us. I have no idea where the year went. Whether you like it or not, it's here. So let me say, with every ounce of joy in my heart, Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving. I pray that your Thanksgiving is wonderfully joyous and spectacularly awesome. May you have a wonderful Thanksgiving. But I got to ask you, I mean, what does Thanksgiving mean anymore? I mean, just as we Christians, we're always trying to put the Christ back into Christmas, I never hear of anyone trying to put the thanks back into Thanksgiving. I mean, what is Thanksgiving like in your house? Is it just a day off? Is it a rest day before Black Friday shopping? Is it all about Dallas Cowboys football? Is it turkey and stuffing and pumpkin pie? Is it about overeating and then eating all over? And, you know, from a guy's point of view, we really don't tend to think of things like this, but for many of you ladies, Thanksgiving might not be that great of a day. I mean, you're working your tails off. For you, it might be a day of work, worry, and stress. You know, will my turkey turn out as good as Aunt Gertrude's last year? And some of you have in-laws and stuff coming over with a notebook, and you're getting graded on everything, you know? And all the while, the guys are on the couch drinking tea, watching football, going, is it ready yet? Is it ready yet? Is it ready yet? Come on, by the time we have our Thanksgiving dinner, it's not going to be Thanksgiving anymore. I'm guilty of having said that. Thanksgiving, you know. Maybe it's a day to remember the pilgrims and the first Thanksgiving. And what was it about that first Thanksgiving? What is it that we today tend to forget? One year, I'm going to talk about the Puritans and all they went through. And you know what they went through? Hell. From a 2-month boat ride to landing on Plymouth Rock with freezing cold, nothing to eat, starving to death. Then they're having to deal with these harsh conditions. It's not like they can just go check into the Holiday Express. You know, there's nowhere to go. There's nothing to do. There's nothing to eat. And then only by the grace of God, only by the sovereign hand of God, do they run across an Indian who of all places had been to England and of all things happened to speak English. Is that a coincidence? And this Indian, Squanto, who could speak English, he began to teach them how to survive. And in time was the first Thanksgiving. And that first Thanksgiving was the pilgrims and the Indians coming together as one and thanking God for their many blessings. You see, Thanksgiving Day was not about receiving. It was about giving. It was about giving to God. And you know what? Thanksgiving now in 2011 is the same thing. It's not about receiving. It's about giving. It's about giving back to God. It's a day set aside specifically to acknowledge the blessings that he's bestowed upon us as we seek to bless him in return. That is Thanksgiving. And that's putting the thanks back where it belongs, at the forefront of your lives. So this morning, due to the holiday, we're going to leave Mark 4, but we're going to just jump ahead a few chapters to Mark chapter 6, verse 41. So if you have your Bibles, open there to Mark chapter 6, Mark chapter 6, verse 41. And today's message is really simple. It is really, really very simple. I could just ask a question, answer it, and step down in 5 minutes. But then you wouldn't feel like you got your money's worth, so I got to go about the whole shebang here. But it's a simple message, and you're going to hear me repeating myself many times as I just try to get a simple point across. But this message revolves around the idea of blessing God. Blessing God. I mean, if Thanksgiving is a time where we acknowledge God's blessings in our life and we seek to bless Him in return, the question becomes, how do we bless God? How in the world do we bless God? And our need this morning is just simply that, simply to give back to God, to bless Him. And you know what? God has called some people to be preachers and teachers. He's called some people to be missionaries. He's called some people to just do world-shaking things. But for the ordinary, average Christian who doesn't feel called to do all this stuff, how do you give to God? How do we bless Him? We're going to have 3 points this morning as we talk about blessing. We're going to talk about blessing in the Old Testament. We're going to talk about blessing in the New Testament. And then we're going to end with the fact that blessing is Thanksgiving. Blessing in the Old Testament, blessing in the New Testament, blessing is Thanksgiving. Again, we're starting in Mark chapter 6, verse 41. And this week, as you do what you do, as you live your lives as a Christian, this week, as you sit down on Thursday, maybe another day for you, some of you, but as you come together with friends and family, sitting around a table full of food, know that the Thanksgiving meal is not what Thanksgiving is about. In fact, the meal is simply God's gift to you to bring family together for the express purpose of giving thanks, which is technically spreading the seed of the gospel within those in our family with hard hearts, shallow hearts, and crowded hearts, to bring in the parable of the sower from the last few weeks. Let's read together our verse, chapter 6 of Mark, verse 41. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to set them before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. All right. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10, it states that when you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. God's people were not only called, but they were commanded to bless God. How in the world did they bless God? And how in the world are we supposed to bless God? And then in our verse today, what we find is that Jesus is going to feed thousands and thousands of people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 little fishes. And what got me thinking about this message, what gave birth to the message this morning, is in the NIV translation of the Bible, it said that Jesus gave thanks and broke the loaves. But in most every other translation, it says that he gave a blessing and broke the loaves. So which is it? Did he give thanks? Did he give a blessing? Did he do both? Is it one and the same? And that's what got me thinking about this message this morning. And the actual word here in the Greek of Matthew 6:41, that he gave thanks, the word in Greek is eulogeo, and it means to bless, to praise, to give thanks. And we find the exact same word in Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 at the Lord's Supper. I'll read it to you. It says, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, take it, this is my body. So this morning, we're simply going to do a little word study to see what it means to bless, so that we can properly bless God, because that is what we are called to do as God's people, to bless Him. So our first point is simply blessing in the Old Testament. Blessing in the Old Testament. You see, God is the creator. He created everything that was created, which is everything. God created everything. And what we find is that God gives life, and then God gives blessing. That's what He does. I mean, God created the plants of the earth, the beasts of the field, the birds of the sky, the fishes in the sea. And after He created them, what's the first thing He did? He blessed them. Genesis chapter 1, verse 22 says, God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number, and fill the water of the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth. God blessed them, be fruitful and multiply. And in the same way, after God created mankind, what's the very first thing He did? He blessed first the man and the woman. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. God blessed Adam and Eve, the first man and the first woman, with fruitfulness and basically domination domination of the earth. And what we find is this fruitfulness. When God said, be fruitful and increase in number, this is basically, this is the basis for God's promise to Abraham in Genesis chapters 12 and 15, when he said that your descendants will be as numerous as the stars in the heaven, as numerous as the sand on the seashore. The blessing of fruitfulness. So let's define God's blessing. When God gives a blessing, when he gives a blessing and says, be fruitful and multiply and subdue and rule over the earth, what's he mean? Well, according to one source, the blessing of God is the gracious divine gift which he dispenses in sovereign freedom, granting his favor to individuals or people and causing the work of their hands to succeed. God's blessing, causing the work of their hands to succeed. So what we find, very simply, is when God gives a blessing, he gives the assurance of success within the realm of blessing. The assurance of success, whether it be being fruitful and multiplying, whether it be subduing the earth, God gives the assurance of success. And you know what? He not only gives blessing, but he also sustains the blessing as he sends rain and as produce comes from the earth and as God blessed Abraham and the covenantal bloodline and with prosperity, with numerous cattle and animals. He gave him land. He said, you will thrive and prosper there. Just go. And really, when you think about it, I pray, Lord, I say, bless our church. And what am I asking? What am I really asking? It's this definition. I'm asking for God to make this church successful and our endeavors to bring him glory. God's blessing, guaranteed success in the realm of the blessing. Now, as you know, in time, God kind of changed the way that he worked among his people, and he basically said, okay, all right, things are changing, and now you got a choice. You obey me, and I will bless you, guaranteed success, or you can disobey me, and I will curse you, guaranteed failure. And as you know, in Deuteronomy 28, you find the blessings and the cursings. But what you have to understand is that just as blessing is active work on God's part, as he actively gives, so is cursing. Cursing is active on God's part as he actively gives the negative. You see, cursing is not simply the removal of blessing, but it's the actively giving of a curse. And we find this in Deuteronomy 28, starting in verse 58. It says, if you do not carefully follow all the words of this law which are written in this book, and do not revere this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, the Lord will send fearful plagues on you and your descendants, harsh and prolonged disasters and severe and lingering diseases. He will bring upon you all the diseases of Egypt that you dreaded and they clung to. The Lord will also bring on you every kind of sickness and disaster not recorded in this book of the law until you are destroyed. What does it say about curses? It says, God will send. What does it say? It says, the Lord will bring. What does it say? It says, he will bring upon you all these diseases and disasters. You see, this is serious stuff. God's blessings are seriously good, and God's cursings are seriously bad. But what we see is that he's in the business of giving. And he basically says to his people, you are my people, and I will give to you. What do you want me to give you, a trick or a treat? Jeremiah 17, 5 and 7 says, this is what the Lord says, cursed! Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his own strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. Cursed, guaranteed failure, is the man who trusts in himself. However, blessed, guaranteed success, is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. So for the Israelite of the Old Testament, who trusted in God with complete confidence, there was no better expression of faith than thankfulness and praise, giving God the glory, acknowledging that he is the sender of the blessings, thankfulness and praise. In fact, as I've already stated, the Greek word to bless is eulogeo, but the Hebrew equivalent of the same word is Barak or Baraka. And it means the same thing. It means to kneel or to bless. Do you realize that nearly every Jewish prayer starts with the same formula, and you get in trouble when you say every, but nearly every Jewish prayer starts with the same formula, and I got a Jewish prayer book right here. And in Hebrew, it's Baruch Atah Yahweh Eloheinu Melech HaYaolam. And what that means in English is, blessed are you, Yahweh, our God, King of the universe. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our God, King of the universe. You see, for the Jews, prayer wasn't, Lord, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. Jewish prayer was, God, thank you for. God, thank you for. God, thank you for. God, blessed are you, Yahweh, our God, King of the universe. You see, they believed that a life of faith, a life of choosing God, was a life of gratitude. It was a life of thanksgiving, which is why one of the Jewish words for prayer came to be Barak, to bless. To the Jews, prayer was about blessing God. Blessing God. Let me read you some examples of these Jewish prayers. They had a prayer for everything. There's millions. But before eating bread, blessed are you, Yahweh, our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. Thank you, Lord, for the bread. You know, before drinking grape juice or wine, blessed are you, Yahweh, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. And there's one of these for everything. Everything. Here's one that's a little bit longer. It's blessing for nourishment. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our God, King of the universe, who nourishes the entire world in his goodness, with grace, with kindness, and with mercy. He gives nourishment to all flesh, for his kindness is eternal. And through his great goodness, we have never lacked, and may we never lack, nourishment for all eternity. For the sake of his great name, because he is God, who nourishes and sustains all, and benefits all, and he prepares food for all his creatures which he has created, blessed are you, Yahweh, who nourishes all. And you know, I could get pretty wordy about this, but I won't. We are to pray before meals, and the Jews were told to pray after meals. And lots of times when you hear people praying, they're praying for the food, right? Bless this food. So are we asking God to give something to the food? I mean, is that what we're doing? Because what we find is that a true blessing is thanking God for the food, which is the blessing. Thank you, God, for the blessing of this food. Don't give the food something. Give me the food, right? And then what we find in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, he says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And it's that same Jewish formula. You know, our Father who art in heaven, thank you, praise you, with all gratitude, hallowed be your name. Hallowed, blessed, holy be your name. And then Jesus goes on and says, you know, give us this day our daily bread. I mean, it's like Jesus is telling the Jews, it's okay to ask your Father in heaven for stuff. It's okay to ask. But the proper formula is to extol him first, acknowledging his glory. Okay, so I've basically said all this to simply show that in the Old Testament, blessing is giving. Blessing is giving. And when God gave a blessing, he caused your work for him to succeed. God doesn't bless your work in the name of Satan, but for him, if he blesses you, he blesses your work for him, and he causes it to succeed. And the prayer life of a faithful Jew was one of thanksgiving and seeking to glorify God for his goodness and his faithfulness to his people. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our God, King Melech Ya'alahom, Ha-Yalom, something like that, of the universe, of everything. All right. Blessing in the Old Testament. Now we move to the New Testament. Blessing in the New Testament. And as big surprise, right? What you find in the New Testament is the exact same thing. You see, God is in the business of giving. God is in the business of blessing. And then in the New Testament, the Christ arrives, God's blessing made flesh, and Jesus comes doing what? Blessing. He comes offering to give. He comes offering to give the kingdom of heaven. He comes offering to give forgiveness and freedom from illness and freedom from demon possession. And when corporate Israel rejects Christ's offer of the kingdom, Christ still gave. He gave salvation to all that would turn to him through faith and repentance. And our salvation, the salvation of the world, was made effective when Christ sacrificed himself on the cross for our sins. See, he gave himself for us. What a blessing. And now all that's required of us is faith. It's just acknowledging that it's true. He is who he is, and he did what he did. I mean, it's not some science fiction story. And in the New Testament, blessing is still giving. Blessing is still giving. Jesus came giving, and he came to give the guaranteed blessing of God. Salvation by faith alone in Christ alone. And as in all things, Jesus is our model, our role model. And as we read through the Gospels, what do we find Jesus doing? We find him blessing God, thanking him for all things, and we find him blessing other people, giving to them, meeting their needs, showing them love. But here's where the conundrum comes in. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 7 says, "And without a doubt, the lesser person is blessed by the greater." The lesser person is blessed by the greater. And it talks about Melchizedek blessing Abraham and Abraham blessing his descendants. The lesser person is blessed by the greater. The greater has something to give to bless the lesser, but what does the lesser have to give to the greater? You know, because in the New Testament, we find that it is man's duty to bless God. But how are we supposed to do that? How does this work? What do we have? What do we, the creature, have that God, the Creator, wants? And in the New Testament, we find Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. We find that as soon as God gives him the ability to speak again, he praises God. Luke chapter 1, verse 64. And in the Greek, that's our word, eulogeo. What we find is that Zechariah blesses God by praising him. In Luke chapter 2, verse 28, Simeon, he takes the Christ child into his arms, and all he can do is praise God. That's our word again, eulogeo. He blesses God by praising him. And there's so many examples of this word being used. I mean, again, in our passage, Luke 6:41 or Luke 14:22, Jesus, he takes the bread, he looks up to heaven, and he blesses God by thanking him and breaks the loaves. And he breaks the loaves. So I've already made the case that blessing is active. Blessing is active. It's giving. God is in the business of giving, and Christ, God's blessing made flesh, is in the same business. It's the family business. And as we join the family of God by our faith in Christ Jesus, as we are indwelt with the Spirit of God, becoming adopted sons and daughters of the God Most High, we also enter into the family business. The family business, the business of giving. The business of blessing, being a blessing. And when you are part of this business, the first person you are to bless or give to is God. How do we bless God? How does the lesser bless the greater? Well, before we go to our third point and answer that question, let me give you a very simple illustration. As you know, I'm a father of three small children, three daughters. And I, as an adult, have a job, and I make a little money. So I have a little bit of money to spend. They make no money and have no money to spend. I have a driver's license and a vehicle. I can drive to the store, and I can use my little bit of money to buy something. They have no license. They have no vehicle. They better not leave the house without telling us, right? They have no way to get anywhere, and they have no money to buy anything. So I, as a loving father, what do I expect from my children? What do I expect? And you know what? I give to them on their birthday. I give to them on Christmas. I give to them spontaneously whenever I feel like it. And what do I expect in return? Honestly, I expect them to look up at me and say, "Thank you, Daddy." That's what I expect. I mean, what more can they give? What more can I expect from them? "Thank you, Daddy." And honestly, I expect their obedience, because if they're obedient, they'll get more spontaneous gifts, right? What if God simply desires us to acknowledge him, looking up and saying, "Thank you, Daddy." Blessing. See, our third point this morning, blessing is thanksgiving. So we saw a blessing in the Old Testament, blessing in the New Testament. Now we see that blessing is thanksgiving. You see, blessing God is simply being thankful for the blessings he's given us. But remember that blessing is active, so we have to change that a little bit. Blessing God is simply being actively thankful. Blessing God is being actively thankful for the blessings He's bestowed upon us. And you know what? His blessings in our lives are beyond number. See, you have to understand that the attitude of thankfulness, from the attitude of thankfulness comes praise. From the attitude of thankfulness comes worship. In fact, the attitude of thankfulness is the basis for the Christian life. The basis of the Christian life. I mean, can we create something out of nothing like God? No, of course not. So what do we have that God desires? Our thanks. Our thanks. Thankfulness. And see, our faith in Christ leads to a changed life as the purpose of our life is different, as the force behind our life is different. We're not who we used to be. We're not who we used to be. Because I can tell you, I used to have so much, and I wasn't thankful for any of it. Let me tell you something. I sat many years at a Thanksgiving table with people giving thanks, and I just sat there with anger and hatred in my heart. Thankfulness. And to go back to the parable of the sower, what we've been talking about it for a few weeks, what is the good soil? Remember, there's the path, the hard heart, and there's the rocky soil, the thorny soil, the good soil. What is the good soil? What is the good soil in which the seed of God's word takes root? What is the good soil from which the fruit of the Spirit grows? I'm going to say thankfulness. The soil, the good soil of thankfulness, being thankful. I mean, what is the Spirit-filled life? What is the Spirit-filled life? I've been reading this passage a lot lately, Ephesians 5, 18 through 20. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit of God. And what does it look like to be filled with the Spirit? He says, speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. And always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does it look like to be filled with the Spirit? Always giving thanks for everything. Not just the good things. Everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. How do you bless God? By being thankful. By being thankful. God's people should be thankful people. And some people, maybe some of you here this morning, may say, Pastor, that's not enough. God desires our time, our talents, and our treasures. He desires everything. Okay? Even though that's true, what you have to understand this morning is that thankfulness is where it all starts. It all starts there. That's why God desires our blessing, our thankfulness, as we give to Him actively. Because if you're not thankful, you're not giving your time, your talent, your treasure, you're not giving squat. But on the other hand, if you are thankful, you'll give Him all that you've got. Thankfulness. Thankfulness. That's why Paul says in Colossians 3:15, he says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body we are called to peace, and be thankful. So can we say the attitude of thankfulness, which leads to contentedness, leads to peace? I mean, there's peace in our life when we're thankful. Colossians 4:2, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Devote yourselves to prayer, this relationship, talking to God, being watchful, keeping an eye on the sky for the return of Jesus Christ, and be thankful. This world is not all there is. Christ is coming back for us. Thankfulness. Hebrews 12:28 and 29. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. So don't you see how that thankfulness leads to worship? It is worship. Worship springs from the thankful heart. And as we come together as one body on Sunday mornings to sing praise and worship God, what are we actually doing? We're expressing our thankfulness to God for His many blessings in our life. Chiefly, the chief blessing we thank Him for is our salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. By grace alone, through grace alone, by faith alone, right? We are expressing our thanks when we sing to the Lord. Worship. So how do we put the thanks back into Thanksgiving? We understand that we've joined the family business. The business of giving. And as you know, for a Christian, for a person saved by the grace of God, every day is a day of thanksgiving, right? Every day is a day of thanksgiving. But as we come together on this national holiday, Thanksgiving, as we celebrate this holiday, as we gather with our family and friends, as we sit at a table, hopefully just overflowing with food, know that it's not about the food. Know that it's not about the football. Know that it's all about giving back to God. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. It's about blessing Him. And what do we have that God desires? Our sincerest, heartfelt thanks. Do you realize He saved a sinner as dirty and despicable as me? Oh my goodness. Thank you, Lord Jesus. How do we bless God? By giving Him our thanks. By acknowledging Him as the author of all things, the author of all blessings. It's giving Him the glory that He deserves. By thanking God. But also, I want you to know, as you sit with your family and friends, as you sit around the table full of food, know that we're called to sow the seeds of God's Word, right? The gospel. We're called to sow the seeds of God's Word. Mark chapter 4, back to the parable of the sower. I have people in my family with hard hearts. It seems like that the seed of God's Word is sprinkled on their heart, and as soon as it is, the devil comes away and takes those seeds away before it takes root. I got people like that in my family, and if I have people like that, I bet you do too. Know that for Thanksgiving dinner, as you sit down with friends and family, there are going to be people at that table, people that you love, people with hard hearts, people with shallow hearts, and people with crowded hearts. Know that in the act of giving thanks, as you sit down and give thanks to God, in the act of giving thanks, you're sowing the seed of God's Word, showing the fruit of a changed life, showing the good soil, thankfulness. And as you thank God, and as you praise God, and as your Thanksgiving dinner turns into a worship service, may the thankfulness be contagious as the seed of God's Word finally takes root in their heart by the Spirit of God in the hearts of those that you love. How do you bless God? How do you put the thanks back into Thanksgiving? By simply giving God what He deserves, your thanks. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Daddy. And watch how God uses that to His glory in the lives of other people. And what is the Thanksgiving Day blessing? It's not about receiving. It's not about the eating. It's not about us. It's not about us at all. The Thanksgiving Day blessing is us blessing God, giving to Him, actively giving Him our thanks as we live a life of thanks. Thank you, Daddy. And I close with the same verse the Puritan preacher used on the very first Thanksgiving, 1 Timothy 4:4, when he read out a scripture, "For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving." Praise God. The praise team, if it'll come on up. You know, as I've told y'all many times, as a young man in college, and I started dating Abaya, you know, I grew up in a non-Christian home. She grew up in a Christian home. And as I started going over there, I saw this joy and this thankfulness that I'd never seen before. And as I celebrated holidays with them, like Thanksgiving, they had a tradition of going around the table and everybody gave thanks, you know, and everybody's praising the Lord and thanking the Lord. And I'm sitting there going, who are these yahoos, you know? And then it gets to me, and I don't know what to do. I just kind of start doing the hand jive, you know. And I'm, you know, thank you for the C in chemistry. I didn't know what to say, you know. But you know what? I've never forgotten that. Never. And now it's a tradition in my family. And you know what? As they were praising the Lord, I believe they were spreading the seeds. Amen. Spreading the seeds. They were spreading the seeds. So you know what stops me when I'm sitting at the table and I'm with my father or my uncle or other people who have these hard hearts and it's just like, What's stopping me? Because if I'm thankful, nothing will stop you. Nothing. Are you thankful? Do you count your many blessings? Do you realize, you know, there are people in this church that some have seem to have everything and seem not to have anything, but we're not supposed to compare ourselves because God has given you what he's given you, and you're to be thankful for what he's given you. Whether it's a Pinto or a Porsche, you know? Can you find that attitude of thankfulness for what God has given you? You! As you live a life in the attitude of thankfulness, giving him the praise and the glory he deserves, what does he want from you? To be thankful. Do you know what he sacrificed for you? His son. Gee whiz. We should be so thankful. If you have never been able to find that joy and that thankfulness in your life, then maybe today's the day of your salvation as you just turn to God and just give it to him, saying, Lord, whew, I need it. I need you bad. I need you. Save me. Save me for myself. Save me for my sins. I know I have more than 3/4 of people in this whole world, but why can't I be happy? Give me Jesus. And for those of you who are Christians and have Jesus, know that as you sit down with your family, they need to hear you praise God. They need it. And we need to do it. If you have any special prayers, come on up and I'll pray with you.